Jesus, you individual here, you're starting to play with witchcraft. In your head, it's not witchcraft. In your head, it's seeking out supernatural things. You're starting to get into calling to the dead and talking to the dead, and you're actually seeing manifestations of it because they're very real. The Lord today is warning you because you're being drawn into a trap by the enemy as you're being dealt a counterfeit. God has given you certain gifts in the spirit, and the enemy is after those gifts to harvest them because he's afraid that when you get your heart right with the Lord, you're going to see and do many things for the Spirit of God. So today, if that's you, the Lord just wants you to recant it. He wants you to turn away from it. He wants you to repent from it and not go back. The people that are drawing you in, they're going to be very persistent, very strong to you. And you need to be very clear. Don't call me. Don't talk to me. Because it's not them calling you and talking to you. It's the spirit that's in them, not the spirit of God, but the spirit of the enemy. So please be very wise. God is warning you before you get too far, before the enemy latches a hold. And God wants to use you in a dynamic way in the spiritual realm. That hunger that you have, he placed in you. So it's not strange. In fact, you've had it since you were a little child. At 4 years old, you had a dream, and you found it to be so real and so vivid, and then it came to fruition. And in that, God is revealing to you these gifts. But make sure you use them for the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of the enemy. If you do that, God will bless you in a dynamic way, and you'll be able to see your gifts being used to see people saved and set free and miracles and healing. In fact, you'll actually see things happen in the future that you'll be able to warn individuals, and it will stop the event from occurring. But you got to pay attention. The enemy's after your gift. He's after you. So don't fall down that path. There's also another individual here. You're having pain. It's a strange pain. It's on top of your bones, but underneath the skin. It goes from about the belt line to just up 3 inches on the right of your rib cage. You lay your hands on there. Jesus is healing it right now in the name of Jesus. There's also an individual. Your third toe on your right foot. Don't know what's going on with it, but I know that the top of it is very painful, and God is healing you right now in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you love us and that, God, the supernatural is very real. Lord, you have great things for your church. Lord, your church is not weak. Your church is not dead. Your church is not supernatural-less. It's filled with the supernatural. God, you are the supernatural King. Lord, we love you. We honor you this morning in your name, Jesus. Is above every single name, no matter what sickness is in this room. Hear me, disease. Hear me, sickness. You have to be subject to the name of Jesus. We bind you. We command you to come off the believer in Jesus' name. I remind you of the word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every single sin and heals every single disease. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your name and how powerful it is that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for caring for us. In your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you go find somebody you don't know this morning and say, thank God for the supernatural. Come on, don't go just sit down. Go find somebody you don't know and say, thank God for the supernatural.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. We want to welcome you. Let's give a shout of praise and glory to God for what He's done in our lives. Hallelujah, Lord. We honor and glorify you. It is a pleasure and a joy to be in God's house this morning. Every day is sweeter than the day before when you have Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Can I hear an amen? So we would like to welcome you. We would also like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest in the house, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. We have a gift for you. We really believe in, there's one right up front, we really believe in getting to know our guests. Here's a couple over here. Keep your hands up because they're going to bring you a gift. One right up here in the front row, right back here in the middle section, front middle section. Any other guests in the house this morning? Back here, back by the balloons. We welcome you. Thank you so much for coming out today to be a part of our celebration of who Jesus is. We would like to invite you to a guest reception, which is on this side of the building directly after service. We have refreshments, and we would love to get to know you. It's an opportunity to meet the pastors and some of the leaders here in our church. We believe in relationship. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
So we want to get to know you. We would also like to welcome and love on our live stream audience. Can we give them a round of applause? We love you. We're so excited about what God is doing in the lives of those that join together corporately for the King. And we would like to let you know, to remind you, that tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., we have senior breakfast at the Cracker Barrel. And I said this last service, I'm going to say it this service. I'm not going to tell you how old you need to be to attend. If you're a senior, you know that you're a senior, correct? And Pastor will tell you, I will not. 50 years old, he says. So we would love for you to come on out for that. We have histabernacle.com and also bulletins if you'd like to find out about some of the other things that are happening here at His Tabernacle. Make sure that you get plugged in. That's the most important thing that you can do, is build relationships here in God's house. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda to come up for our tithes and our offerings.
Good morning. This is my favorite part of the service, where we get to talk about the prosperity of kingdom finance working in our lives from the Word of God. So this morning I want to read you a scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. And it says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion out of obligation, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good work." Amen. How many of you want to have abundance for every good work? God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His children. Now, at some points, it feels like that isn't really working in our lives. So we have to look at this scripture in an entirety. You know, we focus on all of the abundance, but how did that abundance come? From a cheerful giver. See, we talk every week about tithes and offerings, and you know, we're great at it. We are great. You are a phenomenal church in your tithes and offerings and giving, and God wants to bring us to another level. You see, this isn't even talking about tithes and offerings. Tithes and offerings, that's just elementary. That's, I've borrowed your car, and now I've returned your same car. You're not going to be cheering me and thanking me for this great gift that I've given you if you've just returned my car to me. That's tithes and offerings. This is talking about sowing and reaping. That's above. That's next level stuff, with a cheerful heart. Now, something happens when we don't give with a cheerful heart. And let me read to you in Joel 1, verse 12. It says, "The grapevines have dried up, and the fig trees have withered. The pomegranate trees, palm trees, and apple trees, and all of the fruit trees have dried up because the peoples joy has dried up. So this next level giving comes from a place of joy, understanding why we give. We give as cheerful, joyful people, and that way it keeps our seed in good ground. It keeps it from becoming this withered vine. So, you know, we can be giving, 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 and not seeing any results from that because God loves a cheerful giver. And then Proverbs 22:8. This is in the Greek version. If you have the NLT, New Living Translation, in your Bible, there's a little asterisk next to the word. You click on it, and this box pops up. The Greek version says this: God blesses a man who cheerfully gives. Amen. Blesses. And God's blessing is continuous. God's blessing does not end. But then at the end of this, it says, but his worthless deeds come to an end. I don't want anything putting my blessing to an end. I don't want any of my giving to be called worthless. And that's because of the first part of that verse, without giving cheerfully. So we need to transform our whole mind on giving and give out of a heart that loves to give, not just the elementary, not just tithes and offerings, but sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, sacrificial giving, first fruit giving. We need to love our giving because we know our giving produces results. Abundant life for every good work. Abundance for every good work. Are you ready to give cheerfully this morning? We get to walk in abundance for every good work. And in this house, we bring our offerings to the Lord. So when we're done with our supernatural declaration, which is simply the word of God, this is Deuteronomy 28. This is our covenant. This is our promise as givers in the house of God. This is how we can cheerfully give because we know the results. The results are Deuteronomy 28. So if you'll repeat it after me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us, or even text to give.
There are some things in life you just can't do alone, like running a worship set. Getting a root canal. Getting stuck in traffic.
Seriously? Come on!
Starting a flash mob. Trust fall.
One, two.
Join a group today. Go to histabernacle.com/groups.
Hi ladies, I'd like to personally invite you to the Women's Day brunch coming up May 12th at the Hilton Garden Center. The cost is $20 per lady. and we're having a 1920s roaring 20s theme. So you can get your flapper dresses or anything from that era, dress up, come out and have a great time. Even if you don't want to dress up, you are all welcome. The seats do fill up fast, so please make sure you come and see us in the foyer at the Hub after service. Look forward to celebrating you.
Well, we're having our Uproar Talent Show at the Wings of Eagles Warplane Museum. This is going to be May 4th at 6:30 p.m. You're going to be able to support conference. You're going to have a great night with your friends or maybe even a date. And I want to encourage you, you can get your tickets right now via our website, theuproar.org, and make sure you're here with a friend to support conference.
You know, that looks really exciting. So Awaken is only goes up to age 30, but I think we should actually, you know, bombard the party next Sunday. I'm just saying, you know, I am over 30, but Awaken, you know, I think they should. What? I'm not way over 30, but you know who is over 30 and we need to give honor where honor is due is our the most holy Reverend Dr. Father Spencer. Can you stand to your feet? He's like 30 times two. But right now, we want to sing happy birthday to our favorite pastor. His birthday was actually on Monday, but we're celebrating today. So if you want to join us in singing happy birthday to our pastor, we'll get started. Terry, take it away. Give him a shout! Stay standing. The reason is because he loves these moments. He really thoroughly enjoys the moments of being put on the spot, in the spotlight, singing happy birthday. Can we just give a round of applause and give a shout for our pastor one more time? Woo! You can have a seat, except for Pastor Spencer. So, you know, this is an opportunity that we have to bless our pastor. And one of the things that, you know, again, I'm taking advantage of a moment because I get spanked an awful lot. Listen, you guys laugh about it, but I don't. I take a lot, and you know what? He's willing to give it. So, I'm going to... Here it comes. So... But anyway, this is an opportunity, and one of the things that I want to at least put out there is just the factors of how much... Can you please stand, Pastor Spencer? He does not like this, if you can't tell, but I do. And so the cool part about this, though, is giving honor where honor is due, and something I was speaking in first service was just how much of an investment he has made into our lives. And for me personally, you know, he's been personally investing into my life for over 10 years, at least probably 15. I've been here for 16 years, but I can definitely say pretty much from the very beginning, he's been, you know, kicking me in the butt, you know, pushing me, pulling me, whatever direction I can go, he's doing it. And You know, I am the associate pastor here at the church, and I've been serving on full-time staff for almost 8 years now. Wow. But I served him as his armor bearer for 5 years. And, you know, there's a lot of things that people don't see behind the scenes. And I remember the nights where he was here doing counseling until sometimes 11 o'clock at night. And again, it was his dedication to the house of God. And the biggest thing about this is just, this is an opportunity where we can return the blessing for the investment that he makes into our lives. So we are not who we are today. I wouldn't be the man I am today if it wasn't for this man and, of course, his wife. But the investment. Every single Monday morning, we are either at Cracker Barrel or we're now at Sample This Barbecue. But, you know, there was a period in time not too long ago where I had a situation where I, you know, the Lord told me, need your pastor. And then I actually sought him out and I said, I need my pastor. And I said, you were going to be spending a lot of time together. And honestly, he takes that time. He invests into me. But you know what? The reproduction that comes from that and the investment he's getting a return on. His return on investment is seeing these seats filled. And that's what it's about to him. He didn't ask for this call. Nobody come up to him and said, you want to be a pastor one day? He wanted to be a game warden. Look where it left him. Look where he is today. But you know what? He's hunting for souls now. Hallelujah. He's hunting for souls. So, so the call of God on his life is to be the shepherd and our pastor. And again, we want to give the opportunity to be a blessing. So in your seats, you have offering envelopes. There's a seed offering envelope. It's green right in your seats. You want to pull that out. We're going to take a moment in time today in this time of being a blessing to him. Please write that out. But while you're writing out, I want to share with you a scripture that I came across, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and it's in verse 10. You guys laugh about this, but I'm really taking advantage. You can sit down. I'll let you sit down. Only for a second. You can stand back up. I'm kidding. All right, so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, it says, now you have diligently followed my example. That is my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, steadfastness, persecutions, and sufferings. And you know, this is actually written to Timothy by Paul. And Timothy, if you remember, was actually a pupil of Paul. And, you know, this is something that he has done. He's given us the example. He has shown us the example. And, you know, the latter part of this says, and sufferings, persecutions. We don't even understand the amount of things that have come against them and against our pastor. The senior pastor takes a lot of heat. But you know what? He does this with love and love for us. So I want to just share this with you because I've seen this for so many years. And this man will never quit. He'll never quit. You know, last week, he's been saying, push, push. Listen, he wants to push you into where your destiny of God has been called to. And that's what he desires. That's his destiny. And you know what? He loves to do that. It's life to death. He loves to see that. So real quick, if you have your offering ready, we're going to actually sing happy birthday song again one more time as you're bringing your offering forward. If we can bring the baskets out, that'd be awesome. But if everybody could stand to your feet. And as you're coming forward, I want you to be singing loudly and cheering Pastor Spencer on as you sing happy birthday. Let's go ahead and bless him on his birthday. Come forward now with your blessings.
So much. I honestly and genuinely appreciate the gifts. You know, what's amazing is when you recognize and understand how to bless the men of God, the blessings of God have no choice but to chase you down. The Bible says that when you give a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. So when you sow into your pastors and your leaders, God has a special blessing for you. It is something my wife and I do consistently with our bishop and with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. And we want you to know that we live this lifestyle of learning how to bless the men of God, because it always positions you. Turn to someone and say, blessings position you. It's true. Blessings position you for more blessings. And that's the principles of God. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I don't want to preach. I'm going to teach. Is that all right? I'm going to teach the word to you. My wife said that after the first service, it's the best sermon she says I have ever preached in all my years. Now, that doesn't give me a lot of good hope, because I preached a lot of years. So hopefully I'm getting better. Is that what you're saying? I'm getting better? Amen. This is the year of... This is the year of divine connections. It's exciting to know that God has brought people in your life to be that divine connection for you, to get you where you're going. You know, God so loves you. It's called prevenient grace. Has anybody ever heard of prevenient grace before? It's a word that talks about before you even knew God, He was sending divine connections in your life to bring you to the place of salvation. It's awesome. But God doesn't want to just get you saved. God wants to grow you up to be a mighty man and a mighty woman of the Spirit. Turn to someone and say, I'm a mighty man of the Spirit. I'm a mighty woman of the Spirit. Yeah, if you're a woman, you said you're a man. No. It's about divine connections and the power they are in our life. We all need divine connections. Amen. How many of you recognize you can't get anywhere without somebody else? It's the truth. You can't get to heaven without Jesus, the greatest divine connection there is. There's no other name under heaven which while you shall be saved but by the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by... See, He's our divine connection to the Father. Everybody in this room. How many of you have a mother? Well, that's a divine connection. Say amen. Without your mama, you wouldn't be here. See, there's divine connections. The Bible says before you were even born, God knew you. This divine happened in your life. But today I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about divine connections, but not how God has brought them in our life, but how you are the divine connection for somebody else. Turn to someone and say, I'm your divine connection. Tell somebody else, I'm the divine connection. It's the truth. You see, you and I are God's divine connections on this earth. We've learned something as we open up the scripture. In fact, the verse for the year is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. I want to read it in three different versions today because I want you to see the prominence of this portion that we are focusing on this year with divine connections. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and it says this in the New King James Version. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. The New Living Translation says it this way, and the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what He said by many miraculous signs. The Message Bible says it this way, and the disciples went everywhere preaching, the Master working right with them, validating the message with the indisputable evidences. You see, there's a mindset that's come into the church, and it's a scary mindset. It's actually a delusion and a potion that the enemy has worked in our lives as the greater church, the body of Christ at large. And that is that we want God to work with us. How many of you love to be saved? How many of you want to go to heaven? Well, then you want to be saved. How many of you are glad God works with you to be born again? Amen. How many of you are glad God works with you when you need to be healed? He's Jehovah Rapha. How many of you are glad God works with you in your finances? He prospers you in your finances. How many of you are glad God works with you in your family? Amen. We all want God to work with us, but not everybody wants to work with God. We all want God to work with us, but not everybody wants to work with God. We all want to have Christ in us, but we don't all want to be in Christ. In Him we live and move and have our being. There's a difference from just going to church and asking Christ into your heart. That is having Christ in you. than you being in Christ, because your life transforms the moment that you are in him. That verse, in him we live. That word live means that's how we live our life. In him we move. That's our motion and where we're going and what we're doing. And I have my being. The very essence of who I am is in Christ. So many people want Christ to work with them, but they don't want to work with Christ. There's got to be a shift and a mindset transformation. You see, in most churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. Now, not in this church. I thank God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Because we've been training you from the beginning that this is not about one person doing one thing. It's about all of us putting our hand to the plow and not looking back. Can I hear an amen? But you see, most churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. The scary part about this is that many people never do the will of God. They are never a divine connection for somebody else. They never are somebody that's going to make a difference. They kind of suck air, make a few bucks, build a family, and die. When they put their epitaph on, it says dead. But I don't know about you. I don't think I want to have a gravestone. You see, nobody in this room should have to have a gravestone to be remembered. We are remembered because of the divine connections we made in people's lives, because of the impact we made in people's lives. When we have to have a gravestone, it means that our memory is not strong enough. The connections we have in this world are not strong enough. And God wants to empower you to be that divine connection that will transform. God working with you. You and God, hand in hand, walking together to accomplish the very purpose of your being on this planet. There's a need to know that the Master wants to work right with you, not just you have the Master working inside of you. There's a word that we use in Christianity and is so misunderstood. It's the word sovereign. How many have ever heard the word sovereign? The word sovereign means that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. And a verse that's used is Psalms 135, verse 6, and it says this. Excuse me. And the Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all of heaven and earth and on the seas and in the depths. And that's absolutely true. God can do what he wants, except for two things. Turn to someone and say, except two things. This is important to know, because God in his sovereignty has chosen to submit himself to certain laws, the laws of heaven, to where he is constrained to where there's two things God cannot do. God cannot lie. Can I hear an amen? God cannot go against his word. That means he can't lie. If God goes against his word, that means he's a liar. And if God's a liar, he can't be God. The other thing that God cannot do is God cannot go against your will. The moment that God goes against our will, we are no longer free will beings, which means we love him because we have to, which means you might as well be an angel. But God has given you and I the ability to choose. Do I want to serve God or I don't want to serve God? Do I want to go to heaven? Do I not want to go to heaven? There's nobody else's decision for that but you. Each one of us make our own choice. Do we want to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Or simply do we want to go to the lake of fire? You see, and we make the decision whether we want Christ to forgive us our sins or we want to pay for the sins ourselves. That's the choice that we make. And God will not supersede that. How many of you remember Saul when he was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9? The Bible said he was knocked off his ride. And as he's knocked off his ride, he's laying there. And a bright light came. And he said, who is this? He said, I'm Jesus. Why are you kicking against the pricks? And we find that Saul repented. But the truth is that Saul did not have to repent at that moment. He could have made a simple choice and said, listen, I'm going to keep living the way I'm living. I'm going to keep being religious. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I don't care if God showed up and he spoke to me. I want to do how I want to do. Now, we all have that free will choice, and that's powerful to recognize that God will not supersede our free will. It's one of the best, worst things that God has ever done for us. The difficulty is this. That if God will not supersede our will, then God will not make you and I work with him. Now, the challenge with this is that this is why the church at large, especially in America at this point in time, is really worthless. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, but the gates of hell have definitely prevailed against churches. You'll find there are churches where God doesn't even show up. You can go to a church. They can have praise and worship. The preacher can. I was at a church not too long ago. I think I shared that in the sanctuary. I was out of town. I went to a church on a Sunday night. My goodness, there was 38 people in the room, a sanctuary that sat over 300. The pastor sat there like this. I'm not even lying. Looked miserable. The two children that were singing the special could not sing. They lied to these children and said they were good singers. It was horrible. I have video. I didn't feel God. And listen now, halfway through the message, I said to myself, you're stupid for sitting here. Go home. I got up and I went, got in my truck and I went back to the hotel. Why? Because I was wasting my time. Why? God wasn't there. There are churches the devil won't even go to. He won't go to them because there's no worries. They're never going to accomplish anything for God. You see, there has to be a revelation knowledge. There has to be a conclusion in your spirit that God not only wants to work in you, but God wants to work with you. And there's a decision that every one of us have to make in the body of Christ. Will I allow God to work through me and with me to do God's will so that I can be the divine connection that He has called me to be on this planet for this time and this season? Or will I simply be an individual that goes to church, sits down, does my religion, throw George in the plate, go home, and live like hell the rest of the week? There's decisions we have to make, and God won't make those decisions with you. He won't make them for you, because if He has to make them for you, you aren't loving Him because you desire to. You're loving Him because He's making you. Have you ever been in a relationship where you have to make them love you? I was dating a girl one time. It was a mercy date. It wasn't me mercy dating her. She was mercy dating me. You ever been in a mercy date where simply you just felt sad for the person? Some of you don't realize that you're in a mercy date right now. Just kidding. Just kidding. Man, they don't really want to be with you. They don't want to spend time with you. They're just being nice. Man, there's nothing worse than trying to make somebody love you, trying to make someone be with you, trying to make someone want to work with you. There's a time and a revelation that I believe the Spirit of God is bringing upon His church in these last days, that He's raising up a remnant people that are going to be passionate for the things of the Spirit, that are going to let God work not just in them, but say, Jesus, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. In You I will live, in You I will move, and I will have my being. God, no matter what I do, I'm going to live my life for You. And when the church has that revelation, then your life takes on meaning and purpose and dimension, where it's no longer just about yourself, it's about who God has called you to be. You see, every one of us got to recognize that God needs you. Everybody wants to be needed. You know, that's one of the hungers of every human being. They want to be loved and they want to be needed. Come on, you've been in those situations where someone didn't need you, where they let you know, I don't need you, I don't like you, I don't want to be around you. You feel left out? This is why we have gangs today like we've never had gangs before. This is why the churches are empty, because there's a lot of churches. It's us and them. Man, this is where we've got to have this revelation knowledge, this illumination, this apocalypsis, this unveiling in our spirit that cannot be provided by mankind, but the Spirit of God, as you're sitting in this room, the Spirit of the Lord is working on your heart right now. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That the Word of God today, the Bible declares, will produce faith, and faith will produce the works of heaven. You see, today you're sitting here with great intelligence because you're in the place where the Word of God is being preached, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in this place, God can unveil and recognize and bring an understanding to your life that God needs you. Can you shout that out loud? God needs me. Shout it out loud. God needs me. Turn to someone next to you and say, God needs you. Tell somebody else, God needs you. Oh, but God doesn't need anybody. That's a lie. God has always chosen to work through man. This has been his plan from the very beginning. Do you realize if God didn't plan to work through man, then why would Jesus have needed to come? If God didn't need to work through man, then why didn't God just save us from heaven? Why would his son have to come be born of a virgin? Why would the son have to come and grow up and understand all the troubles and the trials and the tribulations that we're going through as a Messiah? Why would he have to die on a cross and raise from the dead? Why would he have to come if God didn't need to use mankind? You see, the divine connection that God placed between you and I, the mediator, Christ Jesus our Lord, that mediator was provided as Christ became a man, a divine connection. As you and I are men and women, we are that divine connection for somebody else to hear that God is good and not bad, so that God can change a life from the inside out by washing him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn to someone and say, God needs you. I want to show you something, and this is where I'm going to start teaching another 2 hours and we'll be done. We want to show you in the Word of God how powerful this principle is. It's found in the book of Matthew chapter 25, and it's one of my favorite parables. Shall God needs me? Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 29. It starts talking about the parable of the talents. Now, the very first portion of this, I love this portion. In verse 14, it says this, for the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, I want to remind you that the moment you became born again, you became a citizen of heaven, which means you're no longer governed by the things of this world. You see, the world is only governing those who simply submit to it. But you and I being born again, shout, I'm born again. If you're born again, you are now a citizen of heaven. That God's laws are stronger than man's laws. That God's laws supersede the law of nature. That God's laws supersede the natural of the sea. God's law supersedes all things on this planet. That's why it's called supernatural. The problem comes when we want to live in this world's principles, yet reap God's harvest. When we want to live according to the world's law, but yet reap the blessings from heaven. I want you to know that that's a great delusion in the body of Christ. You can't live the world and expect to reap heaven. You can't live the law of this world and how this world governs things and expect to be blessed by the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says here, the kingdom of heaven is like, which means this, if you want to know how heaven works, if you want to know how God works on earth, if you want to know how you can bring heaven to earth, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in. If you want to know how that works, I'm going to get ready to show you. Some people say, well, I don't understand how heaven works. Here you go. I'm getting ready to show you. The kingdom of heaven is like, he's saying, if you pay attention, I'm going to teach you how to bring heaven to earth. I'm going to teach you how to release heaven's power in earth's limitations. I'm going to teach you how to bring your miracle that you need here from here to there so that you can have what you're needing for. You see, God has answers for you. God is supernatural, and the church is not some religious organization, but the body of Christ that simply is ruled by heaven's rules called the Constitution or the Word of God. You see, when we understand the Word of God, we understand our laws and our Constitution. So the kingdom of heaven runs differently from the kingdom of the earth. I'll show you one, right? Human says, save and you increase. God's law says, give and it shall be given to you. Human law says, if you want to protect your life, save your life. God's law says, if you want to save your life, lose it. Man's law says, stuff it away for a rainy day. God's law says, if you sow, you shall reap. Man's law says, if you want to go to heaven, be good and religious and be a nice, sincere person. God's law says even the sincere go to hell. The only ones that go to heaven are those that confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, man's law is different from God's law. And when we understand this law, how the kingdom works, then we can actually live above the law of man and live according to the laws of heaven. That's how we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, and we shall have what we ask. That's how we can speak to sickness and disease. As my wife had cancer, stage 3, and she spoke over it. She declared it. We have doctor's proof to prove it. And God dried up the cancer. And not only dried up the cancer, but even got rid of the tattoo that they had put in her body to extract her portion of body. How is that possible? That is possible because you understand that the laws of man are subject to the laws of God. But you cannot be subject until you recognize how the kingdom works. Amen. We live in a democracy. In our democracy, we all make a vote. God is a theocracy. There is no vote. God says it. That's it. Well, I don't like that. Tough. Well, I just don't believe that. It doesn't matter. If God said it, it's what it is. Because if God says it and vacillates and changes it, then there is no absolute. If there's no absolute, then there's no word of God. If there's no word of God, then he's a liar. If he's a liar, he can't be God. So therefore, we're all playing a religious game anyways. So for you and I to really understand how God's kingdom works, especially in these last days, let's be honest, Jesus is coming. Let's be honest, man. We've never been in a time and a season like we are right now. Russia's getting riled against us. You can blame the president all you want. This has nothing to do with the president of the United States. This is the end times being set up for Christ to come, the trumpet of God to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. Jesus is coming. You can blame the government all you want. It doesn't have anything to do with Obama. It doesn't have anything to do with Trump. It has everything to do with the government being set up for the trumpet of God to sound and the Antichrist to rise and for there to be a great tribulation period and a battle of Armageddon, a separation of the sheep and the goats, and the judgment of the church. So we've got to have a revelation. We have but a short time. How many of you recognize, and I remember preaching that message a few years ago. It's one of my favorite messages, dealing with time. We live in what's called linear time. How many of you know you live in linear time? We have a 24-hour period of a day, and that's called linear time. You know, God created linear time in the book of Genesis chapter 1. Why did God create linear time? Because God knew that Adam and Eve were going to commit high treason. And if Adam and Eve had committed high treason in eternal time, there would have been no opportunity for redemption. So God created what was called linear time so that there would be a day of redemption. The Bible declares in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 19, and this is the day of salvation. Why is that? Because we have linear time. We have a period of time, a segment of time that's called life here on this earth. But there's a time that's eternal, that there is no end and there is no beginning. And the fact is that every human is eternal. We've been created in the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. You see, we've been created as trichotomous beings. We have a spirit who has a soul that lives in a physical body. Your physical body is nothing more than a slave, either to your soulish man or your spirit man. And the fact comes down to this, is that whomever you serve, whomever you obey, the spirit or the soul, your body will act out. So therefore, you will actually show who you are. So when people say, don't judge me, you don't have to, because they've judged themselves. But the kingdom of heaven is like. How many of you remember the year I preached on the kingdom? Seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye what?
First.
The what? The kingdom. You see, so many believers do not understand kingdom. They understand church. They understand religion. They understand kindness, being a good person, being benevolent. They understand being sincere. Well, I sincerely believe in God. So the Bible says in the book of James, the devils believe in God and tremble. It's not a big deal you believe in God. 95% of Americans say they believe in God, but it doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says right here in the book of Matthew 25, for the kingdom of God is like. So if you're going to seek the kingdom, this is one of the very first principles you've got to understand, that we seek the kingdom and it's like this right here, right? This is how the kingdom is. A man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one his own ability. And immediately went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he would receive 2, gained another 2. And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, everybody say that, a long time. The Bible says in the book of Peter that many are saying, where is the second coming of Christ? We've been hearing about this a long time. The fact is, it doesn't matter how long the time is. The only time and the only reason that God has elongated the time for Christ to come, according to 1 Peter, is that he wills that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The young man on the front row, his name is Forrest. Forrest gave his heart to Jesus this week. If Jesus had come last week, where would Forrest be? That's called the elongation of the period of time for mercy and for grace. God wills that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he made this declaration. The truth is that no matter how long the time is, we will all still stand before God. Amen. We'll all still have to give judgment before the Lord. So he who received 5 talents came, brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I gained the 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came out and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Have you ever noticed this? That when God gives you talents and you seed your talents, he always brings abundance. Some of you have been miserable in your walk with God because you've never learned how to sow your life. Therefore, you've never been able to reap the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Keep going now. Then he received the 1 talent, came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. I was afraid and went and hid this talent to the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He gave him back what was entrusted to him. By this the Lord answered and said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know what's amazing is a lot of people are busy, but busyness does not mean you're not lazy. Busyness without reproduction and without a harvest can only declare that you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off, but not truly seeding anything in your life. That was free. So after you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and at the coming I would have received back at least my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is how the kingdom runs. I want to show you, every one of us in this room, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not on this planet by accident. You were not just born. Your mama and daddy didn't make an accident, and all of a sudden you're here. But God said, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. God, before he ever said, let there be light, and there was light, knew you'd be sitting here today. God planned your birth. God planned your purpose. God planned your pursuit, and God gave you gifts, and he gave you talents. The kingdom of heaven is like this, that the one, the Lord, who gave the talents to the servants, someday will be coming back, and each servant is going to have to give an account for the talents that they have been given. Now, the challenge with this is this. In American church today, we kind of live our own life. We do our own thing. We come to church on a Sunday morning, we spend our time in church, and then we head home. We head home and we do our life. We live our life the way we desire. We very rarely serve God in the aspect of relationship. We very rarely serve God in the aspect of serving in the kingdom of God. It's more just, I want to not go to hell, so therefore I'm going to come. I'm going to say my nice little prayer. I'm going to get out of hell, and that's all I'm going to do. But the Bible says the kingdom of heaven, that God does not look at it the same way that you and I as humans look at it. The human law says that if you become religious and a good person, you don't hurt anybody else, all is good for your life. But God says that's not how it works at all. So there needs to come this revelation that you and I who have been given gifts are responsible to plant those gifts, use those gifts, not for our good, not for our bidding, but so that God can get the glory from our life. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. You see, some of you have been given amazing talents. Now for me, I recognize my talents. One day I decided that I wanted to play jazz. So I went out and I bought a bunch of equipment. I bought a jazz guitar, and I'm talking like a nice jazz guitar. And then I bought a beautiful, I didn't buy an amp, I bought a jazz amp because there's a tonage that I was looking for. This round tone that when it comes out of that amplifier just warms and soothes the soul. So I bought this amp and I bought this guitar and I started getting lessons offline and I'm playing and I'm on the couch and I'm doing all the scales. They're all new scales. You see, I play guitar, but all these are new scales and, you know, into the 11th and 5th, 5ths and 7ths and I'm running up and down and I'm saying, dear Lord, this is horrible. And what I'm realizing is this, that I don't have timing. I can clap on beat, but don't ask me to play jazz, because I do not have the rhythm. I tried, but I could not keep up. I tried everything that I could. Rhythm is not my gift. Another thing that's not my gift, children. I went to the children ministry once. I was in there about 20 minutes, and I prayed for deliverance, Jesus. Kids are not my gift. Carpentry is not my gift. My dad was a carpenter. He owned his own business. Boy, was he mad. He offered me his company. And I said, no, thank you. I'm going to go into the ministry. But you know, I recognize my gift, that if I built that building, it's probably coming down. It's not my gift. But I know my gift. My gift is conveying the word of God through teaching and through preaching. The ability to communicate, to be able to speak. And not just my ability, but with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You see, the gifts that God has given you, when you use them for the kingdom, he anoints them. And God will use them for his glory. And lives will be changed because of that. You might not ever stand behind a pulpit, but your gifts might be an engineer. Listen, we had a situation up in Ithaca just recently where we needed to tear down a wall. And we have an engineer in the church. I called the engineer. I said, can you help us? He did all the work that would have cost thousands of dollars. And he blessed the church. Didn't charge the church a dime. Why? Because he was using his gift for the glory of God. The wall is down. The rugs are in. And man, this morning they're having church right now at 609 West Clinton Street in Ithaca, New York. Why? Because a man decided to use his gifts for God. Every one of us got gifts. Some of you, man, you just get around people and you light up. You just love people. Some of you, man, you don't really like people. But man, you can administrate. You can put line upon line, precept upon precept. And dear Lord, those that love people need you. Because we create chaos. See, every one of us are so different. Every one of us are so gifted. Every one of us, God wants to use those gifts that he's given to us. But the problem is that the church has lost the reality of what the kingdom is like. And we've gone into the church mentality to where we are no longer divine connections to anybody. We're just living our lives. We're just in survival mode. We're just living what we want to do. We're taking God's gifts. Can you imagine if I learned how to play jazz and I was good and I had powerful rhythm, but yet I didn't come to church and use the gift? I went to the bars. Some of you are using the gifts that God has given you for the world, but have never used them for the kingdom. When you don't use them for the kingdom, when that day comes, and the day is coming, the Bible says it was a long time until the master showed back up. But when the master showed back up, he brought an accountability. What did you do with the gifts? Listen, you are not judged for what you have. You've been judged for what you've been given. You'll notice that when the one gave back, he said, here's yours. You see, the gifts that he's given us are not our gifts. Some of you, those gifts you've carried for so long, you didn't even have to work hard at them. It's just who you are. Why is it who you are? Because it's the gift that God has deposited in your life. Have you used your gift for the kingdom or just for your own self in the world? This is something that's powerful in the church, and this is why the enemy's been winning against so many churches, because there are so many people that are not doing anything for the kingdom of God. They're living for their own life, and now what's happened is simply this, is that the churches are being choked out because there's not enough workers. I want you to know this, that you are God's divine connection for people that are going to walk through that door. You are God's divine connection for somebody that's going to be delivered from alcohol. You are God's divine connection where somebody who is sick, you'll lay hands on them and they'll become well. You're somebody's divine connection that you'll share the love of Jesus and they'll listen to you and the gospel will penetrate and change their life. You are God's divine connection to be somebody at the door shaking hands, to be somebody behind the scenes building and structuring and putting things together. You are God's divine connection. But if you never use the gifts that he's given you for him, then we'll all stand in judgment for them. And this is a choice that nobody makes but you and I. And you see, as the body of Christ, listen, in this church, we've got so much to do. I should never have to stand up here and say we need children's workers. I should never have to hear somebody say, well, pastor, I don't have enough workers for the kingdom. Can you make an announcement from the pulpit? Listen, you'll notice that I refuse to do that. Do you want to know why I very rarely do that? Because I believe the Lord of the harvest has sent forth laborers. Because we prayed, but the laborers are here, but the laborers are few. Why are the laborers few? Because more are using their gifts for their own abilities and their own proclamation and their own perpetuation rather than the kingdom of God that is coming soon. We've got to make decisions in our lives. Because one day we are going to stand in judgment for those talents and those gifts that he's blessed us with. And listen now, you've got to recognize God needs you. Can you shout it out loud? God needs you. Tell somebody beside you, God needs you. When you and I get this, it's not just, wow, I guess I got to work for God. But when you recognize that God himself has designed you so perfectly, so meticulously, God has so perfectly designed you with those gifts and those talents. Oh, I think about our children's wing, and I think about Marge. Some of you have met Marge, and some of you haven't. I don't even know if she's here. I think she was here first service. But if you walk down the kids' wing, you see all these beautiful paintings all the way up and down. That's Marge. We paid her for a very small amount of that. The rest of it, she gave her talents for the Lord. And children have been blessed for the last 7 years. Why? Because they walk down there. They get to play and interact with those great toys. And yet, it firms up what God is trying to teach them. Every one of us. You are so important to Jesus. Your gifts have been planted so specifically inside of you. We think too low of ourselves and not high enough of ourselves. We've got to say, God, I thank you for loving me so much that you gave me these gifts and these talents. Now listen, not everybody's going to have the same ones. Not everyone's going to have the same amount. This is why God has never called you to compare yourself with anybody. He's called you to be you. You're not going to be judged for what somebody else does. You're going to be judged for what you do. Boy, I'm excited this morning because when you and I have this revelation of divine connection, when you and I have this revelation that our lives are needed by God to fulfill heaven's purposes on earth, then it's more than just going to a religious institution, fulfilling some religious obligation, but it's I'm going to the house of God to get fed, to get encouraged, to get built up, to get fired up, to get a fresh anointing so that I can go out into the world and use the gifts that God has given me to save a soul, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, that God will use me to change the lives. And if God needs me in his house, I'll do whatever necessary to fulfill the very purposes of heaven. Amen. Everything comes down to sowing and reaping. Our whole lives are sowing and reaping. Those gifts and those talents, the one with the five sowed and he brought a reaping in his life. The one with the two, he sowed the two and he got back double. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. The power of our life is that God loves to increase you. God loves to bless you. God loves to take what he's given you and multiply it so that you'll even have more production. So that when we stand before him, he'll say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not just, wow, you're a good religious person. You went to church once a week. You gave $1.50 in the offering. But God is saying, no, you're my son and you're my daughter. The gifts I gave you, you use them for my glory. And our lives will be overwhelmingly blessed when we learn the principle of sowing and reaping. Everything about God is about this. I remember one day a guy said to my wife and I, and you know, didn't know my salary or anything like that, and you know, I think at that time, Rhonda, we were making $42,000 a year for both of us, and he was making over $100,000, and he looked at me and he goes, man, you and wife, man, you must be making bank. You know, you guys live high on the hog. I said, really? Because I knew his salary, he told me. I said, it has nothing to do with the money you have. It has to do with the life that you give. When you learn to give your life, God will always prosper you. When you learn to sow your talents, God will prosper you with more. When you learn to take the gifts he's given you instead of hiding them in the ground, saying, Jesus, how can I use them for your glory? When you learn that, it brings substance to your life. It's not about you in survival. It's not about you just sucking air. It's about you making a difference. And God has called you to make a difference on this planet through those gifts that are anointed. And when God uses you, there's no greater fulfillment in your heart. When you recognize you're making a difference in somebody else's life. Some of you have just corralled your life. Oh, pastor, I was hurt in church. Grow up. At some point in time, you got to grow up. Did you quit your job because they hurt your feelings? Did you leave college because they hurt your feelings? But you'll leave church because they hurt your feelings. Or you'll withhold your gifts. You're not hurting the church. You're not hurting the kingdom in the aspect that the kingdom will fall. But what's happening is you're wounding yourself. We've got to get rid of our excuses. I said it a few weeks ago. Every time you use an excuse, you actually destroy your destiny. Well, I'm too busy. Oh my goodness, can you imagine in this little linear time that we have on this planet? I turned 52 years old this last week. You always hear the older people say, he's still young. And you hear the younger people say, dear God. But age, time goes by so fast that if you don't apprehend the time will apprehend you. that if you don't make time live, time will live you. And all of a sudden, you'll blink and time will be over. I was talking to someone this week about they're holding their baby. And I said, hold on tight, because you'll blink and they'll be 18. We always say, I'll do something for God later, and later never comes. I'll use my talents for the kingdom, but I'm just too busy. Then you're too busy. You're too worldly minded to be any heavenly good. You're too worldly minded. I don't even know where the voice came from. There he is. Hey. I want to sound like him, but boy, that was kind of spooky. You're too worldly minded to be any heavenly good. Can I share this with you? I want to share the last portion of this scripture, and then I'm going to be done. This is a portion of the scripture we don't like to read, that we don't like to talk about in church, because we don't want to offend anybody. I'll be honest, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here, and my goal is every time I stand up to preach the gospel is, Jesus, how would you say this to your people? Because you're not my people. You're not my church. You're God's church. I'm a shepherd, but baby, I'm not the chief shepherd. There's but one shepherd, and his name is Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? He said, my sheep shall know my voice. So I stand up here when I'm preaching. I'm saying, God, I want to speak, Jesus, as if you were standing here yourself. What would you say to your church? By the way, this is in red letter of the Bible. So I'm going to read it to you. To the one who gave the one talent, he said, cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what this means? That if you don't use your gifts, you're not going to heaven. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus. Jesus said it so very clearly. He said, listen, if you don't use your gifts, no matter what your excuses are, if you take the talent I've given you and you bury it in the ground, or you just use it for yourself and you multiply nothing for my kingdom, you're not going to heaven. I'm going to throw you, cast you into the lake of fire, where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? But I'll be honest with you, there are so many pastors who will never tell the truth. They want to make you happy. I said, I want you to be happy. But I want you more than to be happy, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to get to heaven. And can you imagine going to church for 50 years and never being told this truth and you don't get to the right side? Can you imagine taking your last breath, turning over, and you realize, I'm not in heaven? Listen now. It's scary to realize how many people are not going to heaven. Oh, but Pastor, I said that prayer. Listen, we are not Calvinists. What is Calvinism? Calvinism says this. That if anybody dies that does not know Jesus does not go to heaven. That means all unborn babies. That means all aborted babies. That means all mentally handicapped. That means anybody who dies that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior does not go to heaven. Number two of Calvinism, it says this, that God has a list. If you're on the list, you can go to heaven because God has predestined you. But if you're not on the list, no matter how much you want to go to heaven, you can't go to heaven. If you're on the list, it's called irresistible grace. You will be drawn to salvation whether you like it or not, and you will at some point in time confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And because you're on the list, because you confessed it, now you're once saved, always saved. No matter how you live, no matter what you do, you're going to heaven. We're not Calvinists. And the Bible's not a Calvinist. The Bible says that if you don't use your talents and your gifts that he's given you when he comes back, you're not going to heaven. And that's truth. And as much as we don't like that truth, if today I drove down this road at 120 miles an hour and I got pulled over by the police and they said to me, "Excuse me, Pastor Spencer." That's the worst, by the way. "Pastor Spencer, get out of your car." It's called reckless driving. It's a arrestable offense. "What are you doing?" "Listen, dude, I'm just driving." "What's your issue?" "I didn't hurt anybody." Whether I thought it was nothing for him to be bothered with or not, there is a law. This is how the kingdom of heaven works. That if a man hides his gifts, he does not go to heaven. If that's not sobering, then nothing is. And how delusioned the church world is at large, because we think as long as we say that little prayer, everything is good. We don't need to use our gifts for God. We don't need to be a participant with Christ. We don't need to work with God. As long as he's working in me, I'm happy. But if God is truly working in you, you will start working for God. "For show me your faith and I'll show you my works." You see, works and faith, they work together. Why? Because God will always produce like kind. That should scare us a little. Because even in this church, only one third of the body, which is a huge amount in most churches, one third of the body is actually doing anything. Only one third of the church is actually working at His Tabernacle Family Church, which I'm elated for, because the majority of churches is only 10%. We're 20% over. But what that says is this, that two thirds. I sit back as a pastor. You know, I just want to make everybody happy. But I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of God. And someday I've got to give an account for what I preach to you. I'm going to be judged for my words and my works. And when I stand before him, he's not going to say, "Hey! Two-thirds of the church went to hell because you didn't stand up and tell them the truth." It's the truth that makes you free, not religion. There are hard sayings in the kingdom. This is one of them. So the question is simply this. What are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing with the talents that God has given you? Are you sowing them to reap a harvest to give back to the master when he comes home? Or are you burying your gifts with your excuses that will never hold up before a righteous God? "Pastor, I'm just not one of these kind of people that's out in public." You don't have to be in public. You could sweep floors. Listen, some of the most spiritual people are the people that clean bathrooms. They pray over thrones all the time. It's not the talent that's judged. It's what you've done with the talent that's judged. Because what you've done with the talent is not yours to do with personally. It's yours to invest for the king. So today, each one of us, myself included, man, I'm not preaching this to you, I'm preaching this to us. What are we doing with our gifts? I wish I could just shake some people. I really do. You ever just want to shake your kid? You're being stupid? You know it's going to destroy him. What are you smoking weed for, Chad? One day, Jody Dykes was cleaning Chad's bedroom and found, what was it? Remember? It was a fifth, wasn't it? It was a bottle of, I think it was a bottle of whiskey. Was it? Oh, she found multiple things. I think wrappers. Then she went out into his car and she found the tin. And he was out on the boat with Cody and I don't know who else was on the boat. Cody was there. They're out on the boat on the lake. I called him up and said, hey, Chad, I'm coming to see you. He says, why? I says, you know why. I get there and he gets into the car. Oh, that's right. Yeah, some of the other things he found. Got into the car. And I says, you got anything to say? And he says, nope. I said, what about what I found up in your, what was found up in your backpack? What? I said, it was 2/3 gone. What? Your whats don't work with God. Because he knows your heart. Your excuses don't work with God. What are you doing with your gifts? What are you doing with your talents? If he came back today, which is realistic, by the way, there's no prophecy left to be fulfilled before the trumpet of God sounds. Jesus can come, right? Whoop, he blinked. He already came. In the twinkling of an eye, it says in 1 Corinthians. If Jesus came back in the next 3 seconds, and you stood before him, he would say, what have you done with the talents? And you said, yo, anything I wanted. I said the prayer. And he said, no, wrong. Be cast into everlasting darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know what your reasons are. Some of you think they're really good ones. And they're valid to you. But that doesn't matter because my excuses were valid to the cop at 120. This is how the kingdom of heaven works. What have you done with your gifts? What have you done with your talents? Bow your heads with me this morning. You know, sometimes coming to the house of God can be sobering. And, you know, well, Pastor, I wanted to feel like I was skipping on the way out. You will. You're going to get sugar. You're going to get cupcakes. But sometimes it's so important to recognize God needs you. God needs you. God needs you. He needs you. He made you because he needs you. He gave you the gifts because he needs you for his kingdom to come, his will to be done. God needs your life. God needs your gifts. He's placed them there because you and you and only you can use them for his glory. You are so important to heaven. You are so important for God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church or religion. You can't join this church anyways. We don't have a membership. But today you want to make a decision. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. I want to be part of what heaven is like. I want God to be my king. I want to use my life for God's purposes, and I want to make a difference on this planet. I want to go to heaven. I need Jesus to wash my sins away. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like Him in your heart, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room this morning that would like Jesus? Hi, baby girl. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, young lady. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on. Now, listen now. I want you to hear the parable. You thought you were going to heaven, but you took your talent and you buried it, which means you're not going to heaven. It means you need to get right with God. Is there anyone here who wants to get right with Jesus? 5, 4, 3. Thank you, ma'am. Last call. 2. Last call. Thank you. Last call. Thank you. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Can you shout this out loud? God needs me. Turn to someone and say, God needs you. Tell somebody else you're so important to the plan of heaven. That is absolutely the truth. And God has so blessed you. He's encouraging you. And He wants you to know to use the gifts that you have. Listen, I don't know what you've got. Maybe you love children. Maybe you love music. Listen, if you can't sing, you've not been called to music. Just to give you a hint. Thank you. No matter what your gifts are, there's a place to use them. Oh, by the way, I need painters this week. Anybody interested in painting? Amen. 1 painter. Front. Oh, 2 painters. That's right. You'll be down there. Anybody else? Painter. Then the back. There we go. Folks up here. We're going to paint the new sanctuary up in Ithaca. Over there. Very good. Painters. Make sure you see Pastor Chad. Nail him on Facebook. I need somebody with a paint gun. Anybody with a gifted paint gun? Well, you know, that's all they wanted. They just wanted me to do something. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. You too. Very good. Father, I thank you for this church. Not my church, but yours. I thank you, God, for the power that's in this church. I thank you for the destiny of this church. I thank you for the people, God, of destiny in this house. Your church, that, God, we will take back what the devil has stolen in our region in the name of Jesus. We will not let the devil run rampant. We will not let the church close. Lord, we will not let the church become dormant. But, God, we will be the army of heaven, doing the will and the work of God. And, Jesus, our lives will make a difference for the glory of God. Lord, we thank you that each one in their gifts this morning, Lord, are being touched and being anointed and being used. And that, Father, they'll put their hand to the plow. Lord, they'll say, where can I be used for God's kingdom? Lord, I pray my email be blown up this afternoon. I pray Pastor Dan's phone will blow up this afternoon. Lord, all the people that are trying to say, I want to use my gifts for God's kingdom in Jesus' name. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Meet me right up front right now. This is your moment, your decision. Come on, give my hand clap as they come up front, as they come to give their heart to Jesus. Meet me right up front. Let the little children lead them. Proudy, baby. Sir, don't go back, honey. There were some more hands. Come on, be brave. Grab the person next to you and say, I want to go up too. Come on, I'm a little shy. I need you to go with me. Thank you, honey. Anybody else? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to get right with God. This is your moment. Make your way right up here right now. I'm proud of you, honey girl. How old are you? You're 5 years old, giving her heart to Jesus. Amen. Can you give one more hand clap to all those that will be changed forever today in Jesus' name? Thank you, guys. Follow her right on over here. She's going to pray with you. Baby, go follow her right over there. Father, bless this house and everything we do for the glory of God. Let us all lead at least one soul to Jesus this week. In Jesus' name, bless the cupcakes. Don't let 1 pound go on our stomachs in Jesus' name. And everybody said, I love you. Have an awesome week. Serve God with all of your heart.